Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Will.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons, from hardy homunculi to handy hawks, and today we're talking about Hydras.
Prepare yourselves.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Will.
How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing pretty good. I have a slight cough, so I apologize to the audience.
Man, I think I gave you my cough. I had a cough for like a month.
Quite possible. I feel fine otherwise, but it's just an annoying cough. I'll try and minimize it as much as I can as we go over the Hydra.
I'll try to do more posts than I normally would.
Okay, sounds good. So, the Hydra. What do you know about Hydras, Brian?
I watched Hercules once.
Okay, the Disney Hercules?
Yes.
Okay, that's a good one.
And I saw the trailers for the one with Liam Neeson and Brad Pitt or whatever.
Liam Neeson and Brad Pitt?
Am I mixing that up? Movie? Okay, there's one with Liam Neeson where he's like, release the Kraken.
Oh, that's Clash of the Titans.
Everybody did that for like a few years.
I know. And then, I remember. I was there.
Or they said like, this is Sparta or whatever.
That's a totally different movie.
That was Gerard Butler.
All right.
Okay, that's
so my not much. Not much is what I'm gathering.
They're like a tangy black, and they have lots of heads. And if you cut off a head, more heads grow.
Okay, so you have some facts in there. Yeah. So
the only way to kill it is to suffocate it,
or no,
to put it in a vat of acid.
We'll cover that.
Okay.
So in D&D, Hydras are huge reptilian monsters, infamous for their many heads and their regenerative abilities. Though quite dragon-like in appearance and in power, Hydras are not related to any creatures that fall into the dragon category, or at least if they are related, it is so distantly related as to be inconsequential.
Okay.
If anything, Hydras look to be a strange mix of serpent, crocodile, and drake.
Serpent, crocodile, and drake.
Right.
Okay.
If anything, that's what I would say.
Serpents and crocodiles are pretty, I mean, they're close enough looking.
Ah, okay.
Well, I mean, like, they've got, they're reptiles, right?
Yes.
And they can be amphibious together. And they're
true.
One just has like a really elongated version of the other's jaw.
Well, I would argue that they have very different like jaw and gull like shapes.
Yeah. I mean, when you're comparing animals, I mean, one of them's got legs. I understand that they're not the same creature.
Yeah. I just think that they have different types of features. So
yeah, yeah.
Right. So the Hydra is a very classic D&D monster, and it's one of my favorites. It's one I like to throw at my players whenever I can.
Well, you've never thrown it at me.
Yes, and maybe I will one day.
Ooh.
It'll be some futuristic cyber Hydra.
Space Hydras.
It is directly based off the Greek mythological creature known as the Lernaean Hydra.
Okay, so pretty much the same name?
Pretty much.
What was the first word you said?
Lernaean.
Lernaean.
Yeah, so the Lernaean Hydra was a serpentine water monster from Greek/Roman mythology, and more exactly part of the mythos of the Greek hero Hercules, or Heracles, if you're going by his actual original name. Hercules was how the Romans pronounced it due to a translation issue.
Yeah.
So the Hydra was said to be the offspring of Typhon and Echidna, who were both fearsome god-level monster-type beings responsible for for birthing many of the famed Greek mythological monstrosities that you know of today. The Hydra dwelt within the Lake of Lerna, thus its name, the Lernaean Hydra, said to be an entrance to the underworld. So it was said that it was said to have poisonous breath and had blood so virulent that even its scent was deadly.
Ooh, yeah. Yes, that was a thing. I did listen to like a lore pod. Now that you're talking about this,
right?
It's dredging up old memories of a lore podcast I listened to where they detailed the adventures of Hercules.
Oh, for
but
sure.
I binged it. So there were so many of them. But I remember that being an issue for him. When you go to fight the Hydra, you have to like hold your breath while you fight it or you'll die.
Yeah, or you'll die. Yeah. So, excuse me. It possessed many heads. The exact number varies from source to source. Some sources say the Hydra had 9 heads. Some say it had 50 heads. Others just leave the number of heads ambiguous.
Well, because that depends on who fought it and who fucked up, right? Like, if you went in there and cut off a bunch of Hydra heads and then died, shouldn't there be more than there were originally?
What I mean is, with the telling of Hercules,
yeah,
the number of heads varies depending on who's telling the story.
Yes, because of what I just said.
I guess so,
surely,
yeah, sure.
It has to be
it
that.
It has to be that reason.
Yes.
Okay, for sure.
Doesn't that sound like a tavern story, like how, like, when somebody questions you, like, I heard it was 9 heads.
Oh, I heard it was 50 heads.
No, it changes because it depends on what time you're talking about it.
Exactly. Yeah, there we go. So it also was said to have miraculous regenerative abilities. For every head chopped off, the Hydra would grow 2 more in its place. So which is quite the problem, considering the creature was anywhere from 50% to 90% head and neck. So you don't have a lot of other places to strike.
Right. Do you think that's a pleasurable thing for the Hydra?
No, like, it can't be. No fucking way.
Yeah,
that's
not good to get your head caught up.
Painful.
Yeah, because you got your head caught off the bat, right? But growing it back and then growing 2 back.
I'm just saying, like, okay, I don't know about you, but me as a young child, like ages, I don't know, 4 to 8, I went through growing pains in my legs.
And
fucking agonizing.
Yeah, not good. Imagine having a year of it all at once. Yeah,
exactly.
So the heads probably aren't the same size. They like tree branch off each other because you cut it off from the same like neck place, so you have that surface area to work with.
Theoretically,
when you're growing back,
I suppose
heads.
The heads should get smaller
unless the
they?
Body's expanding too.
No, it shouldn't be.
None of this should be happening.
None of this should be happening. So the slaying of the Lernaean Hydra was to be the second labor of Heracles, and he was called upon to perform it by some king. I don't really remember. He ends up plunging into the swamp containing the Lake Lerna. He covers his mouth and nose with a cloth to protect him from the Hydra's poisonous fumes, which we kind of just talked about. Mm-hmm. He shot flaming arrows into the Hydra's lair to lure the creature out and confront the beast in melee combat. He then did the most obvious thing to do and began to cleave the Hydra's necks in twain.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for Heracles, the creature's reaction to this is a quote from Wikipedia, and I loved it, so I had to include it. So Wikipedia quote incoming. The creature's reaction to decapitation was botanical. Fucking amazing.
Botanical.
I love
like
it.
Like a vine, like plants grow. Cut a tree branch
indeed.
Off. Indeed. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So 2 heads grew back for everyone lost. Heracles was forced to retreat, and now the Hydra was way stronger than before he showed up. Yeah. So in the end, it was Aeolus, the nephew of Heracles, who figured out how to slay the monster. The two returned to the Hydra's lair, and this time Heracles cleft a neck in twain, and Aeolus rushed in with a firebrand and cauterized the creature's neck to prevent it from regenerating.
Ooh.
So there's a bit more to the story, but to sum it all up, despite killing the Hydra, Heracles was denied success in this labor by Hera, since he did not achieve it alone.
Right, and didn't he end up getting poisoned by it, and then someone had to save his life? Did I remember that correctly?
I don't know, because I stopped reading at that point.
Oh, okay. Somebody got poisoned,
let's say yes.
All right, sure.
All right. So in many ways, the D&D version of the Hydra is similar, but in some editions, it's kind of a toned-down version of the Greek Hydra. In other editions, it's toned up, so it varies a little bit.
All right.
So it's depicted as a reptilian horror with a crocodilian body and multiple dragon-like heads on the ends of long serpentine necks. Cool. At full growth, they average about 30 feet long and 3,000 pounds. So that's 9 meters and 1,300 kilos for everyone outside of the U.S.
Thank you, Will.
No problem.
That's very kind.
Yeah, I try and remember when I can, and I beat myself up every time I forget.
We want to be inclusive on the show.
Their scales vary in color from mottled green and yellows to dusty browns. They have between 5 and 12 heads. Not all editions include the head regeneration power, but 5th edition does. There are also multiple subtypes of Hydra that vary in both appearance and abilities, which we will cover later in the episode.
Very D&D.
Mm-hmm. Very D&D. So like many creatures in Dungeons & Dragons, the Hydra's origins vary in speculation depending on edition and setting. 5e states that at the dawn of time, the Queen of Dragons herself, Tiamat, slew a rival dragon deity named Lernaea. Here we go with the Lernaean Hydra again. The wounds from her felling scattered her blood across the universe, and each droplet of blood that fell upon the world spawned into a multi-headed Hydra, consumed by hunger, as great as the fallen goddess herself.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So 4E's origin story is incredibly similar to that, but a little bit different. In time immemorial, the gods clashed with the primordials for dominion over the cosmos. One of these primordials was a monstrous entity named Briakis.
Okay.
I think that's how you pronounce that.
Briakis.
When this many-headed primordial was slain, it is said Hydra sprang from his spilled blood, and due to the elemental origins, many 4E Hydras have various breath weapons.
The energies of the elemental plane cause cellular reaction.
There's a lot of elemental chaos stuff in 4E, and I love it, and we don't have as much of that in 5E, and I'm hoping they bring some of it back.
When do you think that might be? It doesn't seem like it's coming at this point.
At this point, 5e puts stuff pretty slowly, so.
Yeah. It looks like they're going for like a 10-year edition or more, right? Like,
I think more. Because I think after second edition, 3 and 3 and 4 only each. I think 3.5 probably lasted about 10-ish years.
Mm-hmm.
And 4e only lasted like 8 years tops.
Okay.
So I think they're going for like a 15, 20 year.
And 5e is generally liked. I mean,
definitely well received.
So,
and it should be.
There's no reason. Didn't like 30 years go by between editions in some case?
I think first edition was what, from the early 70s to the early 90s? So about 20 years for the first edition, and then about 15 for the second, 10 for the third. Yeah, it's like,
okay.
Yeah, each half life gets a little shorter.
Yeah, so I can see why they've got all these different settings. They're putting out the books kind of like alternating which settings are getting stories.
Right.
So that's kind of cool.
So Forgotten Realms posits that Hydras evolved from a species called proto-dragons, which are a prehistoric reptilian monster halfway between dinosaurs and true dragons.
Holy shit, what? Yeah. Halfway between... Wait, are you telling me that dragons are like the spawn of dinosaurs?
Welcome to continuity bullshit that is Forgotten Realms.
What? Hang on a second.
Are they evolved from dinosaurs, or did Tiamat and Bahamut create them?
From dinosaurs. Okay.
Are Bahamut and Tiamat dinosaur gods?
Oh, what?
That it just stops making sense after a while.
They're dinosaur gods. They're like, okay, we're going to do our first try at making kin, and it's bad, and it's so bad it looks like dinosaurs. And they're like, damn it, we got to do it again. And then they just keep practicing until they can finally get it to look kind of like them. That's all
I got to say.
Pro gamer tips.
Indeed. All right. So when it comes to the behavior of the common Hydra, they are essentially big, dumb alpha predators with a whopping intelligence score of only 2, which, again, as we've discussed in previous episodes, is 1 above a rock.
Right.
Or 2 above a rock, really.
So it can function.
Yeah, because if a rock has 1 intelligence, I'm a little nervous about that rock.
Yeah, I can't breathe. Rocks don't need to breathe. And if they could, would they? Because they're so stupid.
Right.
All right.
So Hydras are aggressive, gluttonous, and violent monsters. When they carve out a territory, they devour all available food sources to the point of extinction. Once the Hydra is fed upon or driven off all available prey, it moves on to greener pastures to repeat the process. So most Hydras can continue this cycle unimpeded, as they have pretty much no natural predators besides one, dragons.
Oh, okay.
Dragons, for some strange reason, find Hydra flesh to be delicious and will not hesitate to feast upon one if the opportunity presents itself.
Cool.
So outside
of this, they can bite its head off and just like leave. And
that's
then,
true.
Like,
it's infinite food.
Wow. That's pretty good.
It's one way to look at it. Outside of this, though, few singular creatures in the wild are capable of challenging a Hydra's dominion over its territory.
Can you imagine like a really, really successful dragon that's like enslaved to Hydra?
And oh,
that's
yeah, how definitely. It just, definitely.
Like, I'm so powerful because I'm so well fed.
Right. And like the Hydra that you're keeping to eat upon can also double as a guard to your lair.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Right. You just keep it chained up.
My entrance chamber is a prison cell for a Hydra.
But it's also a pantry.
It's also, yes, it is two things.
It's two things at once. And with that, let's take a short rest.
Okay.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the part of the episode. We're not talking about the last thing anymore. We're going to talk about new stuff, and it's love. Love for you from Will. Here we go.
Love you guys.
Love you guys, too. Let's... For listening to the show and for just being yourselves.
just being you.
You're so damn cool. Me and Will want to be like so you. There's some people that we're going to thank in particular. Big ones start off the top of the list. Not that any of you are more important than anyone else.
Yeah, this is not ordered.
This is somebody we talk to in Discord, I think, pretty often. Oh, but hey, /382.
Hey, /382. We do talk to you plenty.
I'm pretty sure he changed his name in Discord.
Yeah. I think he's Demogorgon Worshipper. 382.
That's a pretty classic Dungeon Cast person name. Kelsey Malone.
Thanks, Kelsey.
Pretty sure I already shouted Kelsey Malone out.
Thanks again, Kelsey. Thanks,
Dale Brady.
Thanks, Dale.
Doug Pike.
Thanks, Doug.
Anxiety Disorder.
Thank you, Anxiety Disorder.
Jonathan Fernandez.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Super Gerbil.
Thank you, Super Gerbil.
Lasse Broly.
Thank you, Lasse Broly. Did I say it right?
Did I say it right?
That's a good question.
Corey Bergen.
Thanks, Corey.
Christopher Michael Severo.
Thank you, Christopher.
I think I'll just do my, I'm going to lean into the boxer announcer.
Do you, man.
So next time in 2 weeks, it's going to be Buck Wild in here. In a short rest. Hey, congratulations to Salamander Scott on Instagram, who won our contest. Eberron Rising from the Last War.
They probably have their book already.
They do. I one day shipped it to them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And they confirmed they got it. So
cool beans.
Thanks a lot for participating. Yeah, we did have somebody on Instagram win this time. I think the entries were close.
It was
closer to
bound
even than normal.
To happen. Yeah, the Instagram entries have been slowly rising.
Yes,
higher and higher.
Yes, and we got a lot of emails. You guys were included in the. We rolled a random number generation like die or whatever. Yeah. Like out of
some wild number.
Yeah, out of all of you guys that entered. So thanks a lot. We really appreciate everybody spreading the word about Super Quest Saga. That really helps that show in particular. Indeed. It also helps this show because like it's Super
they're
Quest
connected.
Saga. Yeah, we're one and the same.
They're affiliated.
They're definitely affiliated as me and Will are in both of them and produce both of them.
It's true.
So yeah, I mean, do we have anything? Whoa, I'm glad that didn't happen during one of our lights just randomly went off. I think Will probably kicked something.
It was me.
It's okay. The do we have anything we need to talk about?
I don't think so. You know what? Let's keep it short and sweet today.
Let's get back to
the
show.
We love you guys.
Check out Patreon. Bye.
Have we returned yet? Are we back?
We've returned.
All right. Well, let's continue in our lesson about Hydras. Hydras are natural swimmers. It's kind of in their name, Hydra.
Well, yeah, because like its OG location was the gate to hell in a lake.
In a lake, yeah, exactly. So
stuff that guards the gates to hell are rad as fuck. The three-headed hound.
Right, yeah.
The Hydra.
I mean, let's be real. The Greeks really hit it out of the park when it came to their like cryptozoological like menagerie. It's fantastic.
It's the perfect guard. It has so many eyes. It can look in different directions.
It's got so many eyes. It can look in every direction. Yeah,
they can smell everything really well.
It's
maybe.
True.
Well, maybe. I don't know. Possibly. Can the Hydra smell stuff?
I mean, I'm sure it can. I don't know how well.
Does it have a nose like drawn on it?
It has nostrils drawn upon its face.
So it can smell. It can smell as many times better, more good.
It's got more range. It definitely has more range on that scent. But let's actually talk about Hydras.
Let's do it.
And stop speculating about Hydras. So Hydras are natural swimmers, as I said before. And as such, they prefer habitats rich with water. So wide rivers, deep lakes, ocean coves, bogs, marshes are all prime territory in a Hydra's eyes, which, as we just said, they have a lot of those. So they can spend hours lurking beneath murky waters, slithering out of hiding to strike and devour a foe. Due to their thick hide and hardy nature, most Hydras are immune to harsh elements of storm and wind. As such, most Hydras do not have need or want of a lair for shelter. So they're just out there.
They're just out there.
They don't have a cave.
They're just chilling in a bog.
Yeah, they're just chilling in a bog. This bog is my lair.
Yeah. Are Hydras ranked by like where they choose to live? Like what's available?
No, but they should be.
Because like bog Hydra sounds pretty low on the list, right?
I don't know.
Like we don't travel into the bog because of the bog Hydra, but
most
fuck
things
that guy.
With bog as the qualifier in Dungeons and Dragons are pretty fucking monstrous.
Like Froghemoth?
Like a Froghemoth or like a bog hag. Like that's terrifying.
There are bog hags.
There are
obviously
bog hags,
there
yeah.
are bog God,
yeah.
what am I so. Saying?
So anyways, yeah. So Hydras don't have lairs and they love to swim is the point of everything I've said up till now.
Yeah. So if there's water around, beware of floating Hydras.
Indeed.
Can you imagine seeing one coming down like a fucking big ass river? Just like soaking up some rays.
Right.
He's cracking a cold one.
Well, I mean, they can even live off the coast. So imagine your family's out having to swim and then a Hydra just comes onto the shore and starts chasing the family.
That'd be wild if there's like a typhoon or a hurricane coming in and a Hydra just like flops up on shore, like washes up on shore. He goes to bite you and he gets like sucked back in by the tide.
Yeah, it's terrifying. So classically, there are four types of D&D Hydras. There are 4E also made up three extra types, which we'll cover all of them today. 5E so far has only deigned to give us the stats on the one type, the common Hydra. But as I said, there are more. So first, there is the Lernaean Hydra, which is just lifted from Greek mythology. This is essentially a super Hydra. It is identical to the common Hydra in every way, except for that it is bigger, stronger, and has better head regenerative ability.
Right.
So like I said, just a super Hydra.
It's like what they did to AOL that one time. Do you remember those commercials where they're like, we can build it?
No, I don't. No, I don't.
Let's continue.
Okay. Next is the Pyro Hydra. These Hydras are reddish or orange color or have an orangish or reddish hue to their scales.
Oh, wow. That's kind of nasty.
Yeah, I guess so. Each head is capable of breathing fire, and the creature itself is immune to fire. And the fire immunity is a bit of a hindrance due to the fact that the only way to cauterize a severed hydra's head is via fire or acid, and this eliminates the first option.
Right, so you're basically an acid boy at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, troll killers are like, that's a great way to prep a party for a hydra.
Right.
Like, trolls need fire or acid to stop its regen.
And so does this big son of a bitch.
That's kind of cool, the consistency there. Like, oh, I there's a lower level CR monster that will, like, kind of give the party practice on
yeah, that's
fighting
true.
Against regenerating creatures.
And there's a certain amount of, like, consistency when it comes to, like, if something regenerates, fire and acid's the answer.
Yeah, so, exactly. Like, hey, we've done this before. Like, I think I know what to do.
Right.
Like, I'll cut that shit.
Right.
And then you acid splash it real good.
Indeed. So the next hydra on our list is called the Cryo Hydra. Now, these are Arctic-dwelling hydras that range in color from white to blue, and due to carrying layers of fat beneath their scales, are immune to cold damage.
Okay.
These hydras are capable of breathing a cold breath attack from each of its heads.
Sweet.
So next, we're going to get into the hydras that Fori introduced.
Wait, hang on. Is the resistances for the Cryo Hydra anything special? Like
cold.
Just cold, though. Fire isn't
probably bringing cold to that fight anyways.
No.
Because you're in the cold.
Right. You're bringing fire, but is fire, like, double good in this
scenario? I don't think fire is double good.
5e really doesn't do double good.
No, it really doesn't. We need more double good in 5e.
Hey, at 5e, I'm going to homebrew some double good in. I hope you're all right with that.
Yeah, sure. They don't care. Nope. So 4E introduces the Mordant Hydra, a blackish / purplish beast with six heads that spits acid from its mouth and is itself immune to acid. And I direct you back to what I said about the Pyra Hydra and eliminating one of the two options to cauterize the heads.
Is it feasible for a party to fight two Hydras at the same time?
Can you have the
acid and the fire one in course. There and, like, confuse everybody?
Of course you can, like, try. Well, you do your best.
Is it feasible, though, to, like, have a challenging but winnable fight?
I mean, if the characters are high enough level.
I guess so.
So in 5e, the Hydra challenge rating is 8, so it's high but not that high.
Oh, okay. It's not, ridiculous. Yeah,
it's feasible. We're going to get into my problems with the Hydra stat block later.
Okay.
So lastly, Fori introduced the Primordial Hydra, a gargantuan monstrosity 50 feet long with 12 heads. From its mouth, it spits acid that is also on fire, so flaming acid. This thing is... This thing is a campaign ender for 4E.
Oh, wow. It
is a level 25 solo brute with 1200 HP and 38 AC. Makes 8 attacks every turn.
Oh, Jesus.
That was 4E for you.
Okay.
Any other questions about Hydras before we get into some fun facts?
Is that last one bigger than the Tarrasque? Like, for sure, right?
In 4E, the Tarrasque? Oh, you mean, like, the size, like 50 feet long?
Yeah.
I think that's roughly the same length and height.
Tarrasque, yeah, I just looked it up. Because now, oh, guys, we got new cameras. I forgot to say it in the short rest. But now I can use my phone to look stuff up. And the Tarrasque is very large, 50 feet,
indeed.
15 meters tall, and 21 meters long.
There you go.
70 feet long.
Yeah, they're about the same. Like, it would be Godzilla versus, what's the Dragon King with the three heads?
Hydra, I'm pretty sure.
No. In the Godzilla lore, King, what's his name? Oh, my gosh.
Godzilla.
The comments are going to blow up because I can't think of this thing's name.
What?
Starts with a G. Is it Gira? No. I can't remember.
Three-headed dragon.
There we go.
We're so
powerful. You're looking it up?
King Ghidorah.
King Ghidorah. I knew it started with G. So, yeah, this would be King Ghidorah versus Godzilla if you put the Primordial Hydra against the Tarrasque.
It feels so
powerful.
And
now that is the campaign I want to run. Fuck Super Quest Saga.
Oh, no.
No, I'm kidding.
We need to get to the end first.
Indeed,
and then we can have giant monster fights.
It's true. All right. So some fun facts about the Hydra. They are often sought after by adventurers, alchemists, and spellcasters due to their body parts being essential ingredients in many magic items, also potions.
Right.
Their teeth can be used to create almost unbreakable blades for tools.
Ooh.
Their tongues can be used to predict the weather by changing colors. I don't know how that works, but okay.
Yeah, like, what is the Hydra?
You put it on a pole, and when it turns blue, you know a storm's coming in.
Maybe the color changing is a side effect of something the Hydra feels, because, like, how are you looking at your tongue, man? You're an intelligence too.
I don't know.
Nasty boy. Just like checking it in the reflection of whatever water you're in?
Hey man, I'm reading you what the books tell me.
I'm sure it just feels like it's gonna rain.
It's
Hydra's looking at each other like it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain.
its blood is used in healing potions and in rings of regeneration. Cryo Hydra's blood and scales can be used in making ice storm wands. Pyro Hydra blood can be used in crafting flame tongues, which is a sword, not actual tongue.
Cool.
Yeah. Another fun fact is Hydras only have one brain. And guess what? It's not in any of the skulls of their heads.
It's in its gut.
Instead, it's held in its body, protected somewhere behind its forest of necks.
So just... Okay. That's like where your shoulders meet your neck.
I mean, its brain's basically in its chest.
Yeah. That's okay. Sure. Why not?
Why not? Another fun fact, when Hydras sleep, they always leave one of their heads awake and alert, making them very difficult to sneak up on.
Okay. I mean, it can't be. They got to rotate through that, right?
I mean.
If it's one head, I'm trying to think of the logistics of like how tired I would be if I slept with one eye.
Remember,
open.
The heads aren't attached to, like, each head doesn't have a brain. So it's not like each head is a person that requires sleep.
Well, right. So if we treat it all like one thing, you're essentially sleeping with like one set of your eyes open. Mm-hmm. So if I slept with like one eye open, I'd be tired still. Right.
I guess so. But when you have so many eyes, maybe it's not so bad.
Yeah. You're like mostly resting. So like he's just like one. If he's got nine heads and he's like getting 1/8 or not 8/9 of the rest.
8/9 of the rest of his sleeping needs.
I mean, that's enough for me.
I suppose so.
Okay.
I got one last fun fact. If the Hydra goes long enough without food, its heads will turn on each other, devouring each other until only one is left.
And then it'll regrow.
Well, no. I suppose if it devours, they devour each other, they won't grow back. They'll just have the one head.
Uh-oh. And then it needs an adventure to come along and cut its head off.
Exactly. At that point, it's probably in trouble anyways because it was hungry enough to eat its own heads. Like, what the fuck's it going to eat now?
Yeah. And, like, why are you struggling so bad for food? Did you get stranded out in the middle of nowhere? Is everything okay, Will?
The stat block blew away in the wind. Any other questions before we jump into the stat block of the Hydra?
I want to know about the stat block for the Hydra.
Okay, so real quick, the only problem I have with the Hydra stat block, it has nothing to do with the block itself. The stat block's fine. Why do we only have this one Hydra? Like, where's my primordial Hydra? Like, where's my super Hydra? Where's my flame breathing and my ice breathing Hydra?
Wait a second, where did you get those from if you don't have a stat block?
Previous editions, my friend. Yeah, so...
Okay, that's kind of starting to add up because I'm like, this doesn't sound like...
What's in the monster manual?
We have so many different types of things for, like, you know, we have a dragon for each, like, kind of area type almost.
Yeah, sure.
And we have a giant for each area type almost.
Sure. Yeah.
And that kind of makes sense because there were giants and it must be, like, good to roam over all these types. And then the dragons came and they warred, right? And now dragons are the top dog. Well, will one day Hydra's war against the dragons because they're... But no, this kind of, like...
Right,
like it's fall from grace story with
I guess so yeah what? My point is, like, again, the Hydra is only challenged rating 8 and a Hydra is a big bad beast, and it just doesn't feel great that I can't throw a Hydra at like a bunch of level 12.
It's just not that high.
No, like a UNT, what are they called, the abominate, no, not abominations, the Athemas or whatever they're called.
Okay.
They're the big UNT that are single snake body with like 6 snake heads. Like, that's challenge rating 11.
Okay.
You know, I just feel like a Hydra should be higher.
Huh.
But that's just me.
Yeah. I mean, yes, this challenge rating, like, because of the lore associated with it.
Right.
And it's like magnitude of like this big, as being this big powerful beast, it should be close to dragon rating. This should be up in the 15.
Right. Or we should have the Hydra here at 8 and a primordial Hydra at like a 15.
There we go. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, here are the like small drops that became Hydras and they're just like the grunt men.
And then a little variant template like we do for like shadow dragons or Draco Liches, where it's like you can make it a Cryo Hydra, just add these things. Or you can make it a Pyro Hydra, just add these things.
It's kind of an interesting stat block if you want to throw a like a horde, like if you want to fight like waves of
these are the mobs.
Yeah, like this Hydra is a mob, right? Like, I'm sure you're gonna read me a multi-attack stat block. That's insane.
In order for challenge rating 8 to be a mob, we'd have to be talking about like level 18 characters
for a Hydra to be a mob. Maybe we're thinking about like mobs in different ways, like how mobs big is a mob?
When you talk about like mobs, that's like it's a MMO term that means like wipe up enemies that, like, you know, goblins, orcs, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, maybe this is just a stand-in for a mob that is a singular monster.
Oh, it is itself a...
Yes.
It is many mobs, because, like, mobs is a singular term taken from MMO, even though I know the word mobs means a group of people.
Sure.
Right. So I understand what you're saying. Let's actually talk about the stat block.
Yeah, let's do it.
So, like, it's a challenge rating 8. We're looking at an armor class of 15, 172 HP.
Okay.
Strength of 20. Dexterity 12, Constitution of 20. Holy shit.
That's pretty good.
It's all beef and no brains because Intelligence, like I said, is a 2. Wisdom is a 10. Charisma is a 7. Honestly, that's way higher charisma than I think they deserve, but
it's not good. It's still bad.
It is still quite poor. They have an ability called Hold Breath. The Hydra can hold its breath for 1 hour. Multiple heads. The Hydra has 5 heads. While it has more than one head, the Hydra has advantage on saving throws against being blinded, charmed, deafened, frightened, stunned, or knocked unconscious. Whenever the Hydra takes 25 or more damage in a single turn, one of its heads dies. If all heads die, the Hydra dies. At the end of its turn, it grows 2 heads for each of its heads that died since its last turn, unless it has taken fire damage since the last turn. See, they don't even mention acid. The Hydra regains 10 hit points for each head regrown this way.
Okay, so the regeneration is on a clock, and it's not like a reaction-based thing where I cut the head and 2 immediately sprout.
Right.
It's at the end of the turn.
Yeah. That, and again, if you cut off all heads, it is dead.
So basically, you have to cut off 3 before you, or you have to destroy 3 heads to make progress per round.
No, because if
you destroy 3 and
it'll
2
grow 6 back.
Oh, for each head that you destroy,
for
2
each
will
head
grow back.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Yeah, it doesn't grow 2 heads each time. It's 2 for every head that died.
Oh, okay. Unless so this is fire. More like a reaction-based thing.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
So that's like how that's like the Hercules one.
Is right, exactly.
To this description.
There's a feature called reactive heads. For each head the Hydra has beyond 1, it gets an extra reaction that can be used only for opportunity attacks. But that's still pretty potent.
I mean, you don't want to back off it without disengaging.
Yeah.
If you're to that point in the fight, you could die by just trying to get out of the way.
Right. And it can keep hitting every member of the party that tries to get away.
It's like the piranha plant multi-attack in Smash Brothers. It's like, just got this head like chomping you a bunch of times.
Exactly. So final feature is called Wakeful. When a Hydra sleeps, at least one of its head is awake.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, its actions are pretty simple. It can bite, and it can bite you many times. Multi-attack. The Hydra makes as many bites attacks as it has heads.
Okay.
The bite does 1d10 plus 5 piercing damage plus 8 to hit, which is pretty good. Reach of 10 feet. I actually think that reach should be 15, but that's just me.
Reach of 10 feet. Yeah, 15. I mean, it's a big, big creature, right?
Yeah, let me see. I think it's huge. Yeah, it is huge monstrosity. Unaligned.
I mean, 10 is still a lot. But when you think about it, like, my bugbear has 10-foot reach.
Right, exactly.
Versus, like, my Hydra has 10-foot reach. Yeah. Shouldn't it really be, like, 15?
15, yeah. Exactly. Well, any other questions about the Hydra?
I want to do more conversation at the end of the episode about like how do you feel this monster should be implemented in your campaign?
So,
like, how would you use a Hydra? What's your favorite? What's your favorite like?
Classically,
way to-
I like to use the Hydra as a final boss to like a story arc, but. For me, the Hydra is always used as a, much like Hades from the Disney's Hercules, how like the Hydra is just one of its many pawns that moves forward on the board.
Right.
That's how I tend to use Hydras. Hydras are a tool used by a greater, more like intelligent evil.
Yes.
To
yeah, it's just a big stupid
heroes.
Beast.
Yeah.
And it guards a gate
exactly.
to hell. Like,
yeah. Or it gets fucking summoned from like the pits of hell and rises up and like attacks the.
Yeah.
Party, you know?
It's a great alarm. Like instead of like, it's the equivalent to something like a god to like tying a string with bells on it for somebody to trip over. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Oh,
somebody beat my Hydra and got in.
Mm-hmm.
So now I know the base level of somebody I'm dealing with now.
Right.
Somebody powerful enough to beat a Hydra and
yes.
like move forward.
Indeed.
Okay. So that's cool.
That's how I classically use them. Yeah.
I really liked my idea of, a dragon trapping one for infinite noms.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Like, again, having a Hydra in a dragon's lair is great. I love the Godzilla versus King, I can't remember his name again.
Ghidorah.
That would be amazing. I would love to run that as a one shot.
Ghidorah.
So, like, Tarrasque, Primordial Hydra, one city, a party in that city trying to figure out how the fuck to deal with this problem.
It sounds like you could dry it out. Like, it needs to be near water, right? Like,
it doesn't need to be. It just likes water.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, it would be a cool feature to add on that's, like, it needs to be moist.
Yeah, I guess you could have that where...
For every day spent out of the water, it loses 10 movement speed.
I can see that.
It's just drier now.
It's just drier now,
just, like, trying to rob your shop for lotion.
Right.
I kind of like one randomly, like, so there's a scene that you probably do as a dungeon master where you're out at sea on a ship and you're... Party rolls perception because like if you see like a big ass tentacle come out of the the ocean water, like kind of off the distance and go back and you're like, oh fuck, the Kraken's coming.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be the same thing, but with one big ass head coming up for air.
Right.
And it just like, and then it looks over and sees you and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool. I like that.
Like it's always the Kraken like wrapping the boat, right?
Right. Why not the Hydra?
Why not the Hydra?
No, that's just a really good point.
Fucking
I like
looks
that.
You in the face and then like 10 more heads emerge out of the water.
And I like the idea that you could do a fake out where it's like you're out at sea, you see something that looks like a tentacle, you're like, oh shit, it's a Kraken. And then no, 12 heads come out, you're like, oh fuck, it's a primordial Hydra.
It's a fucking Hydra, yeah. And fighting from a boat is like a totally different story experience, every time. Yeah,
absolutely.
I like boat fights. Golden Sun does a really great one where you get mobbed by like creatures that come over the deck, and like the Kraken comes out and you got to fight that, and it's like got half its face up on the on the deck of the boat and you got to like stab it.
Yeah.
Tentacles.
Final Fantasy does stuff
down.
Like that too.
Exactly. Yeah. Those are great.
Those are fun.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at with the Hydra. I think I would either, I think it would make it more like a random encounter than like a set one in my campaign.
Yeah.
I like the one like floating along the river. That was scary
as
fuck.
Makes sense too. Like Hydras are creatures that are found in the wild. So like you would randomly encounter one in the wild.
And that's a cool plot hook. Like one villager saw a Hydra floating down this river and it wound up at the lake and now no one can fish.
Yeah.
Because they all died.
Indeed. And with that being said, I think we can get ready for a long rest.
Let's do it.
And before we go, I just want to encourage everyone to go check out our D&D 5e live play Super Quest Saga. We play it here. It's on YouTube. It's its own podcast. You can just look it up. Super Quest Saga. Super Quest is one word. And it's us here at the Dungeon Cast playing D&D in space in the future. It's a mixture of sci-fi and fantasy and it's a lot of fun.
I'm a warlock.
Yeah, he's a warlock.
We're getting to...
In the future.
We're getting to a cool place in Carter's. I took some liberties with his backstory because everybody kind of already told their backstory except for me. So we're finally going to get the full backstory in like the next couple episodes we're going to record.
I'm excited.
Or have recorded. I'm not sure. I have to look at what the placement is because they only show up when there's a certain way the episode ends. But it's been a lot of fun. Come see Jake and Freeland play with us. They're a Firbolg.
A druid
and a half-orc paladin. Really, really buff characters.
Indeed.
We got a merch store. If you're watching, if you're watching on YouTube, you should be able to like go look
see
at the shirt
right below. Yeah. Yeah. If not, check out the link in the description.
There's
It'll
links
take
in the
you
description.
To our Teespring shop.
Yeah, and thanks for everybody who's reaching out for ad inquiries and stuff. I haven't gotten to everything quite yet, but we will be getting there soon. So hang tight. If you're messaging us on Twitter and Instagram and stuff, just hang tight. We'll get to you eventually. I don't have anything else. We don't have any contests or anything coming up.
No, not currently.
Soon.
Maybe after Christmas. We'll
maybe after Krima.
I guess with that being said, we can call it a game.
Let's call it a game.
Talk to you guys later.
Bye.
The Dungeon Cast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Dungeon Cast. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Will.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons, from hardy homunculi to handy hawks. And today we're talking about the thing Will told me about already.
You forgot.
Hydras.
Hydras.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to Season 1, we are thrilled to announce the launch of Season 2. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make Season 2 even more memorable together.